Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing his series of messages on the Gospel of the Apostle John. Today's sermon is titled, The Connection Between the Eyes, the Ears, and the Feet, and is based on John chapter 9, verse 39, through chapter 10, verse 21. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
Turn with me in your Bibles to our New Testament reading to the Gospel according to John, John chapter 9. It was last Lord's Day that we worked our way through John chapter 9. And this morning we come to the first 10 verses of John chapter 10. We'll pick up our reading in John chapter 9 and verse 34. And we'll read to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Hear then God's holy and inspired word, John chapter 9, verse 34. They answered and said to him, You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore, your sin remains. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief. And a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What is your response to the hearing of the word of God?
Amen.
For judgment I have come into this world. For a decisive verdict, I have come into this world. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, these are the words of Jesus himself. And as we now move into John chapter 10 and look at the first 10 verses of God's word, we see what is going on. In fact, there are four things which God would draw to our attention in these opening 10 verses of John chapter 10. The first is this. There are shepherds who are no shepherds at all. That's what Jesus would draw to your attention, that there are shepherds who are no shepherds at all. Rather, they are thieves. They are robbers. They are bandits. That's what Jesus says in verse 1. And we need to remember that verse 1 of chapter 10 follows hard on from chapter 9. that the chapter division here in some respects is unfortunate because it is a part of the same conversation. It is the Lord who is speaking, in fact, replying to some of the Pharisees who claim to see with their eyes, and yet Jesus has said that their eyes are in fact blind. And Jesus teaches us that there are shepherds who are no shepherds at all. We are, in fact, as it were, pointed back to the false shepherds of chapter 9. You remember what had happened there, that Jesus had healed a man who was born blind, and that this man was interrogated by the leaders of the church at that time. He was interrogated by the leaders of the covenant people of God. And as these leaders interrogated him, this man would not back down, but he courageously held fast to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only being a good man, not only being a prophet, not only being one sent from God, but as the one whom he needed, as the one indeed whom he came to put his trust in, as the one whom he worshiped. And the leaders would have none of it. These shepherds who had been entrusted with the care of God's people, say to him in verse 34 of chapter 9, "You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. They excommunicate him from the assembly of God's people. They excommunicate him from the community of God's people. And Jesus says, "For judgment I have come into the world. For a decisive verdict I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, like this blind man who has come to behold me with his eyes, and that those who think they see may be made blind." And Jesus identifies then these false shepherds, that they are not shepherds at all. They are in fact thieves who in fact carry out their shepherding by stealth and cunning. They are robbers who use violence in their so-called care for the sheep. These are ones who use and abuse their sheep for their own gain, grasping at power, grasping at prestige, grasping at position, and grasping at the provision which they can fleece from the sheep. They think they are above the sheep, and they forget that they too, like sheep, are in need of a shepherd. But they do not hear the voice of the shepherd, and therefore they do not see the shepherd. And with their feet, they go away from the shepherd instead of coming to him. They exalt and elevate themselves, demanding that others serve them, bow down to them, and even cower before them. They say, "Thus says the Lord," when the Lord has not spoken. They demand allegiance to themselves. They demand allegiance to themselves with an authority which they have not been given, but with an authority that they have taken to themselves. And so Jesus, in the last verse of verse 41 of chapter 9, says, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Truly, truly, verily, verily, most solemnly I say to you, he who does not enter the courtyard, literally, he who does not enter the courtyard by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And so Jesus tells us that there are shepherds who are no shepherds at all. And this then leads to a second point, which is really a question. How are these ones to be identified? If there are shepherds who really are no shepherds at all, how can we identify them? How can we identify them? Well, we can identify them in this way. They say, we see, but in fact, they are blind. They are blind with their eyes. But what is the evidence that they are blind? What is the evidence that these ones are blind? That these false shepherds, and any false shepherd, whether in the first century or the 21st century, what is the evidence that they are blind? Well, the evidence that they are blind is that they do not hear. They do not hear the voice of Jesus. And not only they don't hear, they won't hear. They will not hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they close their ears unto the voice of the Good Shepherd, they who call themselves shepherds are no shepherds at all. They are ones who lead others astray. They who do not hear are blind. And in another context, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says that the blind, let them lead the blind, for they both will fall into a ditch. They are blind because they will not hear. They do not have ears to hear. And what is the evidence that they do not hear? The evidence that they do not hear is that they do not come into God's courtyard through the appointed door. Isn't that what Jesus says in verse 1? These ones try to climb up some other way. They do not come into the courtyard by the door. Now, it could be here that this is speaking about an enclosure that is more out in the country for holding, as it were, the livestock. And the context would maybe seem to indicate that. But it is the word for a courtyard. And very often, a courtyard was the place where the family kept their animals. It was adjacent to their house. And if we think about God's house, we think about God's courtyard. And here are ones who not only won't come unto Jesus, but they don't come into God's courtyard through the appointed door. They climb up and in by some other way. And so we see this connection between ears, eyes, and feet. They won't hear. Therefore, they're blind. They do not see Jesus for who he is. And they use their feet to, as it were, go away from the Good Shepherd and try to climb up into God's courtyard in some other way. A way which God has not appointed, a way which will not lead to life, but a way which will lead unto death. And so, if there are shepherds who are no shepherds at all, this would be how they are identified. That they have no ears to hear, therefore they are blind to behold Jesus, and therefore with their feet they do not come into God's courtyard through his appointed door. Now all of this leads to a third point, as God would not only tell to you today that there are shepherds who are no shepherds at all, and would not only answer the question, how are we to identify these shepherds? But thirdly, all of this is put in contrast to faithful shepherds, and ultimately to the faithful shepherd. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. It could also be translated, he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus puts all in contrast to these faithful shepherds. These are the ones who hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hear his word. They hear his word, which speaks of their need. He hears Jesus' word, which speaks of God's provision. They hear the voice of Jesus, And they see themselves not as above the sheep, but as needy sheep. And that is a critical component of a faithful shepherd. That he doesn't see himself as above the sheep. He sees himself as a needy sheep. He sees himself as one who is in need, just like all sheep are in need. And so, seeing self as a needy sheep, they see the Lord Jesus. They behold him as the only door into the courtyard of God, as the only door, as the only way, as the only entrance into God's courtyard. The false shepherds contrive their own way to get in. To get in and, in fact, to cause trouble. But the faithful shepherds see that there's no other way in except through Jesus, who is the door. That's why Jesus emphasizes this. Even though they initially didn't understand things, Jesus, as it were, puts his finger on this important point, that he is the door. I am the door of the sheep. Interesting. Not just the door for the shepherds. I'm the door of the sheep. And any true shepherd must see himself first as a sheep before he can be an under-shepherd of mine watching over the flock. And so these faithful shepherds hear the voice of Jesus. They're convicted of their need, and they behold him as the only door into God's courtyard. They come to Jesus. They enter through Jesus. They follow Jesus, and they in turn say to the sheep, follow me as and only as far as I follow Jesus. Here are faithful shepherds, faithful under-shepherds. Remember, Jesus is exposing the false shepherds of chapter 9. The ones who say they see, but they don't see because they don't hear. They are blind to the only door which actually grants access into God's courtyard. And they, with their feet, in fact, fabricate falsehood and false paths. And so here, all is put in contrast to the faithful shepherds. Maybe we can think of what a faithful shepherd looks like even as he progresses in following Jesus. Think of the Apostle Paul. It's interesting, as you follow his life after coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, after being brought to hear the voice of Jesus on the road to Damascus, being made to see his own blindness in terms of the inexpressible light of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to him on the road to Damascus, but eventually having the scales fall from his eyes to behold the Lord Jesus, and not only having heard and having beheld and seen the Lord Jesus with the eye of faith, his feet are engaged to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does he say? What does he say as we follow his ministry throughout the 30 plus years of his being an under shepherd of the one true door of the good shepherd? Well, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, he says something interesting about himself. He says this, he says, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Here, one of the apostle's earlier letters, he has an assessment of himself. A very different assessment than the false shepherds in John chapter 9. I am the least of the apostles and not worthy to be called an apostle. This is how he sees himself. This is how true shepherds, under shepherds, see themselves. But it's interesting, as you follow his life further, what do we find? We come to the book of Ephesians as the Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome a number of years after writing 1 Corinthians. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, listen to what the Apostle says. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. You see what's happening? The longer he follows Jesus, he's not growing in arrogance and pride. He's not puffed up in terms of anything. He moves from being the least of the apostles to being the least of all the saints. And then we come to the end of his life, right? And we would sense that he's grown in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ all along. Even as he is told to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, follow me as I follow Christ. But we come to the end of his life, to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. And there he doesn't say, I'm the least of the apostles. Even as he is racing towards his losing his life for the sake of Christ, as that is just but a couple years on the horizon. He doesn't say, I'm the least of all the apostles, the least of all the saints. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here's the character of a true shepherd who sees his need and sees with eyes which have been opened the door which God has so graciously provided into his courtyard. A sheep, needy, desperate. A sheep finding no food and no sustenance outside of the courtyard of God, and yet the courtyard is closed off. There's no door. That is, there's no door by nature. For by our sin, we have all been excluded from the courtyard of God's household, from the sheepfold. And yet God, by his grace, provides a door. The door, the only door, the exclusive door. I, and I alone, am the door of the sheep. And so, as we hear God's word today from John chapter 10, we see there are shepherds who are no shepherds at all. We see how they are identified, that they will not hear the voice of Jesus because they are indeed deaf. And they do not see the Lord Jesus as the exclusive door of entrance into the courtyard of God, into the place of eternal residence. And they, with their feet, fabricate a false way, which not only leads them astray, but leads many others astray as well. But all of this is put in contrast to faithful shepherds. Faithful shepherds. Now, obviously, there's application here for the man standing before you. Am I a genuine shepherd, under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I hear? Do I see? And do my feet move towards Jesus? And do I follow him? And do I say to you, only follow me and no further than I follow Jesus? Because if I don't say that, you have every righteous obligation to expel me, to reject me, and to cast me out. For I'm a false shepherd. There's obviously application here for the ruling elders in terms of their work as under-shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers, I speak to you and I speak to me, the elders of the church and myself, who also am an elder. May I never forget that we're sheep. Desperate sheep who desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that without hearing him, we will not see him. And without seeing him, we will not come to him. And without coming to him, we will not enter in. And without entering in, we will indeed not have life, nor be able to lead anyone unto life. And so there's an application for myself and the elders of this congregation right here. What are we doing with our ears, our eyes, and our feet? But this leads to our last main point today. And it's this. If this is a word to the leaders here at First Church of Merrimack, and it is, then is it not also a word to all? To all the sheep here today. To all who are gathered here today before the Lord to hear Him, to behold Him, and to follow Him. Is this not a word to you? A word to all. And what is that word? That word is, there is only one door. There is only one door. And it is only as God opens your ears and opens your eyes that you will see the door which God has made, even through the rent body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has laid down His life for the sheep. And it's only as your ears are open and your eyes are open that your feet will indeed pick up the pace to run to Jesus, the door of the sheep. It's only as ears and eyes and feet are connected, as you indeed flee to the Lord Jesus Christ and indeed enter through Him, that Jesus says, it's only then that you will be saved. Isn't that what He says very explicitly? He says it in verse 9, I myself am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath to come, saved from your own personal sins, saved from the fabrications of falsehood which are all around you and often even find their way into the church. You will be saved. If anyone enters through me, you will be saved from your sins, saved from being a thief and a robber, a deceiver and a destroyer, saved not only from your sins, but saved unto entrance into the fold where you belong, where you are cared for, where you are no longer outside. You will be saved unto safety and the watchful care of the Good Shepherd. You will be saved unto satisfying nourishment for your soul, and indeed you will be saved unto life abundant. That's what Jesus says. He makes it so clear, doesn't He? I myself am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life. Oh, the false shepherds come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I myself have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The world with its trinkets tempts you and says, here is abundant life. Here is that which will satisfy you. Here is that which will give you success. Here is that which will indeed give you all that you want. And it's like being so thirsty that you feel like you're dying of thirst, and a canteen is being placed into your hand, and you take it eagerly, and you, as it were, tilt back your head, and you won't go to take a full swig of that from the canteen, and all that comes out into your dry and parched mouth is sand. And God says that He has appointed the door, provided the door in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be rescued from such falsehood, from such fabrications and fancies of fools, and you might truly find abundant life, satisfaction, purpose, meaning, salvation from sin, salvation unto life. And so obviously there's a call here to self-examination. Not just for me, not just for the elders, but for each one here today. Have you heard His voice? Have you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has He called you by name? Now you can imagine being at an event. You're at an event at the Civic Center in Boston. And there are 7,000 people there. And something comes over the loudspeaker system. And it sounds like this. Someone has left their lights on in the parking lot. What do you do with that message? you ignore it. Not talking about me. But if what comes over the PA system in that crowd of 7,000 is license plate ESK1602, you've left your lights on in the parking garage, and that's your license plate, then you've been called by name. And the question is, have you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ calling you by name, showing you your desperate need outside of the courtyard, and indeed opening your ears to hear his voice when he says, come. Come unto me, and not only will I open your ears, but I will open your eyes to behold that I am enough. I am sufficient and satisfaction for all that you need. Indeed, I am the entrance, the narrow gate into the courtyard of my Father's house, where you indeed become one of my flock. Have you heard his voice? Has he called you by name? Do you depend upon entering into the kingdom of God and unto everlasting life? Do you depend on entering only through him? I myself am the door of the sheep. There's no other door. And have you found? Have you found life abundant in him? You see, there's a call for self-examination here, is there not? If this is a word to the leaders, and it is, it's a word to all of us that there's only one door. And don't leave here today without being challenged as to whether or not you have walked through that door, because Christ has spoken personally to you and opened your eyes personally to behold him, and has drawn you irresistibly by his love and grace to enter in. But it's not only a call to self-examination, it's a warning too. It's a warning that there are imposters out there whom you must not listen to, whom you must close your ears to. There are imposters who would seek to lead you astray and lead you away from the abundant life which is in Jesus Christ alone. And so it's a warning. A warning. Do not listen to them. Do not listen to the voice of the Roman church. Do not listen to the falsehoods of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Do not listen to the prophets of Mormonism or the prophet of Islam. Do not listen to the false voices of liberalism. Do not listen to the false temptations, even within the Reformed church, which say that clericalism is what is most important. The pastor needs to do all of the evangelizing and not the sheep. Do not listen to the voices of doctrinalism that somehow you think that you can dot your I's and cross your T's with regard to your doctrine, and that all is well even though you've never heard the voice and your eyes have never been opened to see and your feet have never been moved to enter. Do not be deceived. Do not listen to the voice of traditionalism or ritualism, trusting in the waters of baptism instead of what the waters of baptism point to. The washing and cleansing of the blood of Jesus alone. Oh, there are imposters whom you must not listen to. And they're not just loud in the church. They sometimes are loud in the culture. The culture pronounces with its cultural prophets tolerance, when really what they mean is totalitarianism. The prophets of the culture pronounce diversity when they don't mean diversity. They pronounce equity when they don't have any idea what fairness really is. They pronounce inclusivism, and it is an inclusivism which is built upon trash and rubbish, which will not last. Oh, in Christ there's diversity. Jew and Gentile, male and female, bond and free. In Christ there's equity. The Father is satisfied with indeed the just work of His Son on my behalf. And He, according to His righteousness and grace, forgives me. There's inclusion in Christ. Inclusion as we enter through Christ into the courtyard. And so here is a word to all that there is only one door. We must examine ourselves, a warning to us all that there are imposters whom we must not listen to. And there is indeed an exhortation for you to make use of your ears. Are you listening? Not just have you heard way back when the voice of Jesus, but are you listening to Him? Is He indeed the daily voice which you are listening to? Are you listening to His voice as you indeed are finding yourself in His Word? And perhaps today you need to make a more concerted commitment to being in His Word daily. Are you using your ears? Are you using your eyes to behold and to prize Jesus as the narrow door, praising God that there is a door, cultivating looking to the one whose voice you hear in fervent faith, in confident hope, and in ardent love? How can you cultivate not only your ears being used, but your eyes beholding the Lord Jesus Christ? As you are in the Word, the Spirit uses the Word to indeed open the eyes to behold the beauties of your Savior. And so there's an exhortation to use your ears, to depend upon indeed God to open your eyes and to engage your feet to follow Him. Yes. Yes. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. They follow Him in and out. They find pasture, food for their souls. They follow Him because He's worthy to be followed. Are your feet engaged? How can you engage your feet more practically as you follow Jesus closely and don't fall behind? As you follow Jesus collectively with the whole flock here at First Church of Merrimack, as you exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest you be hardened in your hearts through the deceitfulness of sin, how can you follow Him not only more closely and collectively, but more courageously, even like the man who was born blind, just like you and me, born blind in our sins, this one born blind with physical blindness, but whose eyes were opened and the eyes of his heart open to speak courageously on behalf of Jesus. You see, it's an exhortation, isn't it? That as you indeed have your ears engaged, your eyes open to behold the Savior, that your feet are engaged to follow Him courageously, and that following Him courageously opens your mouth. One thing I know, that before I was blind, but now I see. So maybe you need to write down today somebody in your workplace, a name. You know, I need to speak to so-and-so. Maybe you need to write down that person's name and also tell a brother or a sister here today, you know what, I wrote down Jeff's name at work. I've had opportunities to talk to him about what the Lord has done in my life, how he indeed is the door into eternal life and into safety and security and the abundant life. I've hinted at it before, but I've not really courageously gone forth and told him. And I've written down his name today, and I want you to pray for me this week because I want to be courageous to speak for the one who has spoken for me. And so here we are. We come to a close today. These opening verses of chapter 10 of the Gospel of John. And we are left looking at Jesus. The door. The door of the sheep. That if anyone enters through Him, he, she, you shall be saved. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we pray that it would not fall upon deaf ears today, but rather that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, feet to follow, and that we indeed might be able to be discerning. Discerning in terms of identifying the voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus, even as he speaks through faithful shepherds. But that most of all today, we would indeed make sure that we have come to you. Oh Lord, hear us. We pray in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. Here you will find information about our church, our statement of faith, upcoming events, and much more. Here also you will find our sermons page with most of our Lord's Day sermons dating back over 7 years, as well as a radio section containing all of the WDER programs. All of these are available for download where a free CD may be requested. We'd like to hear from you if you've been blessed by our program. Give us a call or drop us an email, simply to let us know you're listening. Our contact info can be found on our website. We are always encouraged to hear from our listeners, or better yet, come and join us for our worship service. The First Church of Merrimack meets each Lord's Day for public worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. At both services, we sing praises to our God and hear the Word of God proclaimed. For we believe that the Word of God renews the Christian's mind, enabling us to grow in love and service to the Lord and to one another. We also believe that the first day of the week, the day our Savior rose again from the dead, is the Lord's Day, a day to seek the Lord and find our pleasure in Him. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, "To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen."